You're listening to audio from the Church of Christ in Albany, Western Australia. If you'd like to know more about our church community, please head to coca.org.au. We trust that this week's sermon will be a blessing to you.
Good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Rob Douglas. I'm commencing a five-part series on the Lord's Prayer. This could be the riskiest journey in your life, because I'm not going to be telling you how to pray necessarily. I'm not going to give you information. This is going to be a practical exercise. We're going to do some fasting. We're going to practice that. We're going to be practicing prayer. I'm going to have homework every Sunday for the next 5 weeks. So all of a sudden, we'll discover all the other churches in town are booming and this is empty here, because I've given you that warning now. I hope that's not the case. Come and be a part of this. It's going to be risky. There's probably life rafts under the seat, are there? I don't know. Bags falling down from the ceiling to give you some oxygen. Maybe not. Let's see where we go, eh? One day, Jesus was sitting on a hillside. There was a group of people sitting nearby. Sitting all around him, the disciples were there. There were men and women, probably children, sitting there on the hillside, and they were anxious to hear what Jesus had to say. In fact, he had a lot of things to say. And we often call this particular time the Sermon on the Mount. Now, when we hear the word sermon, we probably think of some old bloke standing up in front of a pulpit in front of the church. Well, it wasn't like that. They were on the side of a hill, probably sitting on the ground. And maybe it was more like a conversation, quite an informal atmosphere. And Jesus was reminding them about a whole lot of things that were going on. He reminded them about the times when they would go to the synagogue and they would see a couple of the heavies there were standing up, praying loudly and babbling away. And he says, you know those people, you know what they do, don't you? They carry on like this. And that's not what prayer is all about. And he said, all of this big talk doesn't really make any difference. This is how you pray, he said. He said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That was how Matthew remembered what Jesus had to say. You can read it for yourself in Matthew chapter 6, if you want to open that to look at that. Luke was also there, and Luke remembered that event too. But it was probably many years later before Matthew and Luke wrote down what they had to say, and they were quite different. If you look at the two, you might say, hang on, the words are different. We often talk about Luke's occasion as the Sermon on the Plain rather than the Sermon on the Mount. Perhaps there were two quite separate occasions, which isn't surprising, because if this was important, Jesus would have talked about this in a number of different occasions. And that's why we see it in a different, slightly different in these two different places. So over the 5 weeks, we're going to work our way through this prayer. And we're going to ask some questions. Who, why, what, how, and when? And today the question is who? Who do we pray to? Well, Jesus began this model prayer by saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We go to the farmers' markets most Saturday mornings, and there's something about buying veggies direct from the farmer. But we still go to Coles and Woolies and IGA, and we grumble about the quality and the service and everything else. It seems that we're actually always keen to have a middleman, aren't we? When a relationship seems too risky, uncertain, too demanding, we get a middleman. So Coles stands as the middleman between us and the farmer. It's so much easier to go to Coles and take something off the shelf than to go down to a farm somewhere and talk to the farmer and say, look, I'd like to buy this. And we certainly are not going to go to over to New South Wales to Sunwhite's packing factory to get a bag of rice. We'll go to Coles to get our bag of rice. The middleman takes away the risk, takes away the uncertainty. And it's easier, isn't it? And we do the same with God. the idea of a personal God just seems too risky. It's too uncertain, perhaps too demanding. So we look for a middleman. If you go into a news agency, for instance, where they're selling lottery tickets, you'll see a little cat waving its hand there, and the people have put that there because somehow they kind of hope that it'll bring success and prosperity to that particular news agent and perhaps the people who bought the tickets as well. And as we look around, we find all sorts of those things that we do that we hope that somehow that will bring us some benefit. How many times have you heard people talk about and the weather gods? I wonder what the weather gods are doing today. You see, we are afraid of that personal relationship with God. And even as good Christians, I suspect that sometimes we come to church, and as long as we've got, the preacher's pretty good and the seats are comfortable and the music's okay, then we don't have to connect directly with God. We can just have this experience and it seems to be okay. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. When we pray, we can go directly to God. I just need to acknowledge here that some of you may find the idea of God being called Father may be difficult for you. People who've had a bad experience of a cruel or abusive father, or someone who just didn't do what they would like a father to do, you find it's really hard to identify with God as a father in that situation. And if you have been in that situation, you may well have looked to your best friend and said, I wish my dad was like your dad. I wish I had a dad that was like that person's dad. I've got some great news for you, because Jesus knows what's going on for you. He knows how you feel. And he says to us, I want to share my dad with you. And it's even better than that, because he began this prayer by saying, Our Father. He's telling us that his father is our father. We're sharing his dad. His father is our father. And he's invited us into an intimate time, an intimate relationship with his father and our father. Jesus spoke about God as his father on many occasions. We can find 165 references in the Gospels to Jesus describing God as father. But in the Old Testament, it's only mentioned 15 times where God is referred to as father. In other words, Jesus was introducing something completely new to the early church. For the first time, God is not some distant being. He is Jesus' father. He is our father. Something else that's really important about Father God, because Jesus said, Our Father in heaven. So that's the next part of that statement. So we're not talking about an earthly father. Whether our earthly father was good or bad is beside the point. The father that Jesus is talking about is in heaven. He's heavenly. Now I'm going to talk about the kingdom of heaven next week. We're going to go into that with a bit more depth and find out a little bit more about that. But let's get something straight to start with. Often when we think about heaven, we think about a fluffy white cloud up there and some old dude up there playing a harp. And when we think about God, it's somewhere out there. We don't know where it is or where he is. But that's not what Jesus meant when he said, Our Father in heaven. The kingdom of heaven that Jesus spoke about is not something that's far distant. It's present right now. Ancient Celtic Christians would talk about a thin place, that place between heaven and earth. They talked about it as a porous place. Can you imagine that it's not a hard line there, it's something porous. There's something special in that thin place, that God in his kindness could meet people there in that thin place. And that's prayer. Prayer is coming in between heaven and earth. When Paul was in Athens, he met with the leading thinkers of the city. He commented on the many shrines that there were around that were set up, including one that he noticed as he walked around. He said, there was one there That's to an unknown God. This was their middleman, something that would acknowledge the presence of a divine being without getting too close. This was risk mitigation. We need to have something to avoid the risk that there may be a God out there somewhere, just in case the other gods have missed out on something. And Paul said to them, he said his purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. Our Father in heaven, he is not far from any of us. And prayer is that place where we are able to experience heaven and earth touching. There's one more thing that comes out in this these introductory words of Jesus' prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, this is not just a statement, it's a petition. May the name of God be honoured and revered. May the name of God be recognised for its holiness. May I learn to love and honour God in a way that I haven't in the past. May I recognise the Father's transcendent beauty, his glory, his wonder. And then it goes on, I think, because it's not just talking about our relationship with the Father, because when we are praying, hallowed be your name, it's also talking about something far wider. May our world, may our family, our neighbours and friends, even our enemies, know the beauty and the holiness of God. To know that you, Father God, are utterly unique, precious, and amazing. That could be a hard prayer for some of you, because many of us actually don't experience God like that. For many people, God still seems distant. Most of us still want a middleman, because it's safer and less confronting. Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 20 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened up a new and life-giving way through the curtain of the most holy place." You remember that at the time of Jesus' death, we're told that the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom. That was something that no earthly person could do. It was torn from top to bottom. And symbolically, it was announcing that now we could experience this new and living way. The curtain had been opened up into the most holy place. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May we recognize what an absolute honor it is to enter that most holy place. But we can do it boldly, not with fear. I think that's a fantastic thing, because Jesus opened the way. I want to give you some homework today. This week, I want to encourage you to find a moment to make a list with two columns. Perhaps you can put that on the screen. On one side, write down how God is being hallowed in your life right now. Just think about your life and think, okay, if I'm praying, "Our Father, hallowed be your name," how is God's name being hallowed in your life right now? What's the evidence of God's beauty existing in your life? That becomes a prayer of thanks that I want to encourage you to pray this month as we go through this time of prayer, to give thanks for God hallowing these parts of your life. Give thanks for the God give thanks to the God for the way in which you experience his grace and his love in your life every day. His glory, his beauty, his holiness. How is it impacting your life now? Say thank you to him for that. It's really important that we do that. And then on the right-hand side of your list, I want you to write down where you want God's holiness to impact your life. This becomes your prayer list for the rest of the week. And I suspect that to write this down, the first thing you need to do is actually to ask God to show what you need to do there. Father, What do you want me to write there? Where do you want me to experience your holiness in my life right now? I pray that your majesty and beauty and holiness will seep into my life in the way I interact with my boss or my attitude towards my boss. I pray that your holiness and beauty, that your name will be hallowed in my attitude towards those people who really annoy me all the time. I pray that your holiness will seep into my life and affect my thought patterns and those things that are going through my mind at times when I wish they wouldn't. I pray that your holiness and your beauty and your glory will impact my life in my relationship with my spouse. You know all the things there. You know what you need to put down on that right column. You probably already know, but I would encourage you, first of all, to pray, Lord, tell me, what is it where I need to experience the holiness of God, that your name will be hallowed in this particular part of my life? Be specific. If you've got your phones here, take a photo of that, because you might need it to remind you during the week to do that. And at the bottom, I've actually got my phone number there, because just as Bot said, if God is speaking to you, if Father says something to you about these things, send us a text. Because I think it'd be wonderful if, as a congregation, each week we could report back, not the details necessarily, but to say the Father is talking to us as a church. And these are the things that I'm observing along the way. Shortly before his death, Jesus took some of his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. He said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. We don't get that sometimes, do we? That Jesus was sorrowful and troubled. He experienced really, really tough times. And he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus invites us to share his prayer life. He knows what's happening in our lives, and he looks at us, and maybe he's sorrowful when he looks at us and some of the things that we're doing and saying and so on. He's looking at the city of Albany. And there's probably times when he looks down and he's sorrowful. And he says, stay here and keep watch with me. And he invites us to pray not just to some far distant God who we can't really know, not to some middleman who might happen to mitigate the risk of becoming too religious or having to do something that's uncomfortable, but to pray to his Father. His Father and our Father, to call him our Father. Prayer is a risk, and he's called on us to take that risk. I want to invite you to come each Sunday as we discover more about what the Lord's Prayer means and to seek to put it into practice in our daily lives. And as I said, I'd love to hear from you. If Father is speaking to you, and you feel that there's something that he's saying that the church needs to hear, then let's hear that. Talk to the elders or myself. I think that's a really important part of prayer, that we start to connect with each other and share what we believe Father is saying. And that's a way in which we're able to determine, is this God speaking or is this just some idea that's come into my head? Because if God is speaking to us all about the same thing, wouldn't it be great if we knew that and were able to discuss that together? So next Sunday, I'm going to talk about that next part of the prayer where we ask those five questions: who, why, what, how, and when. And we'll come to the question of why, looking at the words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you that you are our Father. And we come to you boldly before the throne of grace. We thank you that our Father, you love us deeply. You know our hearts you know, our mistakes and our problems. But you love us and you love us deeply, and you have a heart for us, for this church and for this city. May we hear the voice of our Father. I want to pray for this congregation this week as we go away and ask, what does this mean to hallow the name of God in our lives? That we will hear what the Father is saying to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.